This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. What if the Pentagon attracted eager, high-tech-oriented millennials with the same success as Silicon Valley company recruiters? A new trial policy that would pay for fertility benefits for all young recruits is aimed at increasing rates of retention in the military, especially of women in uniform. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says the Pentagon will start paying for active duty troops to freeze their sperm and eggs. Carter says the $157 million policy will bring along with it peace of mind, flexibility, and some potential legal and ethical issues as well. Joining us is Michael Schmidt, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
What evidence does the Pentagon have that this issue is a deciding factor in retaining men and women of childbearing years?
Well, they haven't exactly laid out what the basis was, but what we do know is that they've been studying retention. Why do troops stay around? And what are the reasons that they leave? And one of the reasons that troops leave, particularly women, is after they have children. So what can the Pentagon do to either help them when they have children or perhaps delay that? As part of some of these proposals, the Pentagon is expanding maternity leave and child care. So they're basically trying to figure out how to appeal more to their employees.
Thinking just purely in corporate terms, this would place the Pentagon way out in front in terms of being a progressive employer regarding these kinds of issues.
Correct. The companies that do this, usually it's just a small group of Silicon Valley companies that do this. Facebook does it. And it's considered a perk. It's something that they do to try and recruit the top women. It raises some interesting questions about the power that companies have to perhaps delay women from having children.
And the questions of injury in battle, there is some allusion to the fact that a lot of troops are concerned that they may be injured in a way that may make it impossible for them to have children. How much did that occur in Iraq and Afghanistan, and how much would this policy get around that?
Well, we know that there were hundreds of troops that were injured in Iraq and Afghanistan that, because of those injuries, will not be able to have children. It's not only those that sustained damage to their organs, but it's also head injuries that can create infertility and also paralysis. And what the Pentagon is trying to do is give the troops some peace of mind that if something awful happens to them, that they still will have a chance to have children. Now, at the same time, that creates all these questions. Well, what if the troop dies in combat? What happens to their biological material? Can other people use it? So the Pentagon has to think through all these scenarios and figure out what would happen, you know, if something happens to the troop.
There's also an issue of, marriage stability in post-combat situations in the Pentagon. I mean, I would think that the Pentagon is getting into a situation where if they have frozen eggs, et cetera, that there would be all kinds of legal questions about who belongs to what. You know, not only are they progressive on this, the Pentagon, but they're in some new territory.
It is sort of uncharted territory. As a medical ethicist that I was speaking to raised with me, he said, what if a troop dies in combat and his mother wants to have grandchildren, but the troop's wife doesn't? Can the grandmother have the troop's sperm taken to a surrogate to have a child? It obviously sounds like a quite extraordinary situation, but what he was saying is that when you begin to freeze materials like this in these types of scenarios, it just creates an infinite amount of unusual situations that the Pentagon will have to basically figure out how they're going to deal with before they move forward with the program.
Michael Schmidt is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.